Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In the year 2000, 250 years after the death of Johann Sebastian Bach, and mindful of Bach's great passions, musical renderings of the gospel story of the death and resurrection of Jesus, a new passion stunned the music world. The passion, according to St. Mark, an Afro-Latin whirlwind of stunning beauty, rewrote the form. Its Argentinian-born Jewish composer, Osvaldo Golijov, was hailed as a revolutionary musical hero. His passion has been performed again and again for a decade now. This hour on Point, 10 years in the world of Osvaldo Golijov and his passion of St. Mark. You can join the conversation. Have you heard this Golijov passion? Did you see its debut? And how does it strike you today, 10 years in, on this Good Friday? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now is Osvaldo Golijov. He's a Grammy Award-winning composer whose works have been performed with every major U.S. orchestra. His piece, The Passion of St. Mark, is a Latin-infused tour de force that was commissioned for the 250th anniversary of J.S. Bach's death. It became an instant sensation around the globe. Osvaldo Golijov, welcome back to On Point. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm betting we have listeners who were at the debut. Its U.S. debut was in Boston, where we originate. Others who have never heard it, can you describe what we're listening to right here in this open?
This is the aria of Peter Steers. After Peter the
Ninth, disciple, Peter.
Peter
singing about his shame. And,
right.
A moment before
this aria, Peter denies Jesus, as Jesus had predicted. And mm-hmm. then he goes out from the courtyard of Caiaphas, the high priest, and looks at the moon and cries. But that's all what the gospel says. So what composers have done historically is find text that would reflect that moment, because nobody, mm-hmm. there are no words for Peter at that moment. And what I did, Bach would ask his poet Picander to write something reflecting of this moment. And what I did is I found this a beautiful poem by a Spanish poet, Rosalía de Castro, of a woman that looks at the moon and says, "Moon, I don't want you to look at me because I want to be, my sadness is too sad mm-hmm. to be seen. I want to be, to die and to be forgotten in this world and the world above." And I wanted those words to be denied by the music. Mm-hmm. I mean, in other words, the words are hopeless, but the music is very luminous because Peter goes on and begins the church, right?
Yes,
so the music predicts the future in a way.
The colorless moon from the point in the gospel story, the passion story, where the disciple Peter, who Jesus has predicted will betray him, does just that, and there singing to the moon to take him away, maybe end his life. Of course, in the Bible story, it's just the opposite. He founds a church on this Good Friday. We're looking back on an incredible passion that came out 10 years ago, its debut in Stuttgart in Germany. And you know, the response was just unbelievable. The Stuttgart papers wrote the next day, was that the Madonna in the hall last night, or was that Michael Jackson? 20, 30 minutes of rapturous, you know, cheering and thunderous on and on. The legend is, Osvaldo, that you had to go out and buy a New Testament, get a New Testament, to know the story when you began. Is that just legend, or is that true? I mean, here you were the son of Eastern European right. Jewish emigres to Argentina, grew up in Yiddish school. It wasn't exactly your daily reading.
Right.
Did you really have to go out and learn the story from scratch?
Well, I mean, I knew the story because I grew up in a Catholic country in mm-hmm. Argentina. But it's very interesting. I knew the story as my friends or the mothers or grandmothers of my friends would tell it to me in a fragmentary way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never knew, for instance, that Jesus said, the soul wants the truth, but the flesh is weak. I mm-hmm. thought it was my friend's grandmother's that would come up with something like mm-hmm. that. And it was for me, you know, I think that the story of the Passion is the story of overcoming the fear of death. I mean, that the transcendental moment of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when mm-hmm. when he doesn't want to die, but then he says, "It's not what I want; it's what you want." Mm-hmm. And
praying to God,
but for me, it was overcoming the fear of the other. In other words,
as a Jewish person,
mm-hmm. you know, and say, you know, I grew up knowing very well the Old Testament, but every time I inquired about the New Testament in to my parents and to my teachers in Jewish school, they would say, "Well, it's only what our philosophers and mm-hmm. prophets said before," and so it's this fear, you know, and then to immerse myself in the story and realize that it's not true, that actually Jesus, yes, he did say some things that were said by the Jewish prophets before, mm-hmm. but then he created an entire new paradigm of how to live in this world.
As you, many have said, created a new paradigm with your Passion. The response was incredible. I want to help people, well, many will know this, but for those who haven't put these side by side to get a feeling mm-hmm. for what you brought, all of that, let's listen first to just a little bit of Bach's St. Matthew's Passion. This is from the last movement, first performed on Good Friday, 1727 in Leipzig. Bach wrote it for a massive ensemble, two organs, choir, orchestra. This is essentially what the Passion meant for classical music lovers for centuries. St. Matthew's Passion. Let us fast forward 250, now 260 years, Oswaldo Golijov's Crucifixion from his St. Mark's Passion. You'll hear the change. And we are in another world, a musical telling of the Passion that set the musical world on fire. Oswaldo, what were you setting out to do? How did you understand your kind of mission here?
Yeah, well, those two moments don't correspond exactly because mm-hmm. What we heard of Bach was the very end, and this is right before the end. It's the moment of the crucifixion,
right,
which I chose to portray from outside, from the point of view of of a mob that gets to the lowest spiritual state that we can reach as humans. I mean, what I did is simply to cut out all the insults that the mob hurled at Jesus. And
it's kind of a grotesquery.
Because then after that same mob realizes the enormity of the crime that has been committed. And there is the piece ends with a very quiet or very, I don't know how to put it, but very meditative movement that is basically the instant of realization of what has just happened, and that is an instant that reverberates for 2,000 years. Just for the sake of the greatest possible contrast, I wanted to do this brutal portrayal of the crucifixion.
And with this very Latin percussion in the background, did you know from the get-go when the commission came to you that I, Osvaldo Golihoff of Argentina, then Israel, then the United States, will make this this Afro-Latin-infused version of the Passion.
No, but the idea, you know, the writing of this Passion was part of a very big project of the Bach Academy of Europe, mm-hmm. in which four composers were asked to write. Each of us was asked to write a gospel. One mm-hmm. was Sofia Gubaidulina, who
yes.
wrote a Russian Orthodox Passion. Wolfgang Riem, who wrote a Lutheran mm-hmm. passion for Luke, but he, as a German composer, had to deal with what do you do writing a passion after the Holocaust, right?
Yes.
And then Tan Dun, the Chinese American composer, wrote a Saint Matthew Passion that is it deals with the idea of resurrection and water as an element of resurrection. And I was specifically asked to write a Latin American Passion, meaning, how did this story remain itself, but also metamorphosed in order to become so central in the lives of Latin America? So I wanted to write this story in the musical language that would be the musical language of my continent.
A world story, and certainly a Latin American, but infused with everything of Osvaldo Golihoff's life as well. We're looking back on 10 years of an incredible Passion, The Passion According to St. Mark by Osvaldo Golihoff. Go out with Porqué. This comes early in the piece when Jesus is anointed with oil in preparation for all that follows. Listeners, you can join the conversation this hour. Have you heard Golihoff's great musical rendering of The Passion of Christ? Were you there for its debut in Stuttgart in Boston? Were you part of the half hour ovations? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with composer Osvaldo Golihoff about his Passion of St. Mark. Here's a movement from that piece, the movement called I Am. I Am, the movement from Osvaldo Golihoff's Passion According to St. Mark. We're looking at the story of this path-breaking addition to sacred music 10 years after its wildly celebrated debut. When it came on the scene a decade ago nearly, Alex Ross wrote in The New Yorker, "It has a revolutionary air as if musical history were starting over with new sensuous materials and a new affirmative tone." Osvaldo Golihoff is with me this hour. We'll hear from those who have put it on around the country and from those in sacred music who have thought about the impact of this single beautiful piece. You can join the conversation as well. Have you heard it, seen it in Chicago, Atlanta, New York, San Francisco, Boston, Stuttgart? And what is it about this Afro-Latin-infused passion that has driven audiences wild? What was the revolution in Golihoff's Passion? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. And let's get a call right here, maybe from somebody who was at the American debut of this piece. Robert in Boston, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, good morning, and thanks so much for the show, and especially today. And I was just saying that I had been at the debut in Boston at Symphony Hall, and I remember Christopher Lydon from WBUR.
Yes, on this station, way back then, yes.
Yes.
Euphoric.
He's euphoric, and he said this was the standard for the new century, that presentation. And I was, I told the lady I just talked to that I was kind of out in the aisles trying to get the people to get up and rave about this presentation. It was so fantastic. So happy to be there as a guest of Holy Cross. And Osvaldo was from Holy Cross, it was.
Yes, it remains so, very much so.
Yes, and I just... I just talked to my daughter in China. She's Holy Cross 2000, Anna Morris, and I told her to stream WPUR right now because she has to listen.
In China and all over the world. Robert, thanks very much for the memory of that night and the marvelous reaction. Yes, Osvaldo Golihoff on the faculty of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts, and that incredible night. What were those debuts like for you, Osvaldo? I mean, I have never read, how I wish I had been lucky enough to be there, but I've never read descriptions of such wild response, you know, unless you go all the way back to, I don't know where. What was it like for you, the composer?
Well, I mean, it was complicated. Uh-huh. It was multi-layered, you know, of course. It is very beautiful to see that people relate to something that you do in such a way, but of course it is much bigger than the piece. It's the story that people want to see reinterpreted, to have a new layer of meaning to it. It's a story that means so much and so deep to so many people. For me, it was really beautiful to be there, but it was also beautiful to, in my own little room with my own little piano, to have arrived to moments where I found, where I realized that what a certain chord change, a certain musical moment, had arrived to, yes, to a truth within that story, to a musical truth within that story.
And did you feel like a revolutionary?
Not
Alex
at all.
Ross,
no.
You know, the great Alex Ross, he's been a guest right here, but he said right away when he heard it, you know, it feels like revolution.
No, because actually, I mean, a primary feeling for me while writing the piece was fear of, having to write a piece like this, coming from the background that I come from, for a chorus of 60 people in Caracas who live their lives by this story and who had never worked with a Jewish composer before. So who am I to tell them about this? No, so I didn't set out to do anything revolutionary, but rather to do something honest to the people, to the Christian people of Latin America.
Well, you succeeded in doing something revolutionary in that effort. I want to bring into our conversation right now from Atlanta, Georgia, and we're very happy to have him. John Sparrow is here. He's General Manager, Vice President of Orchestra Initiatives at the Atlanta Symphony, and he's worked on performances of The Passion of St. Mark Golihoff's in Atlanta and in New York. John Sparrow, thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome. Hello, Tom. Hello, Osvaldo.
Hi, John.
What was it like to put this on? I mean, we've read the response. You were there, sort of help putting it all together. What was it like to put on Golihoff's great piece?
Well, the namesake of the show is actually relevant to this conversation because it was your comments are very on point. The audience reactions were in fact euphoric. I think that's the word that was used a few minutes ago, and I think that's really because Osvaldo's music recalibrates boundaries for people, and it's really not a concert that you're going to or hearing a piece of music. It's an event, and our audiences were quite candidly transformed.
And your musicians, did you orchestra sit in with the singers from Venezuela and all the rest? Did you have to mesh? And what are they? Did this sound like classical music to them?
I think we have the wonderful fortune in Atlanta of having some truly unique and flexible musicians who appreciate music for music's sake, and it's less about the construct of the genre, but it's more about the experience that they're in. And I would also say that I think Osvaldo's experience has been with his music that is the experience that he finds happening with orchestras all over the world. So it's really less about the specific genre or construct of classical music per se. It's about we're in a pretty incredible magical musical moment here, and I think the musicians, let's just say, I think that they looked up from their stands more than they ever have to see what they were actually involved in and marveled at the spectacle.
Osvaldo, describe for us how this travels. This is not like just taking a composition to a new symphony and you put it on. It's more like a touring company out of Broadway. Who travels? Well, what's the local input? What's the traveling input?
We usually have the strings being from the local orchestra. Like, for instance, in Atlanta, the Atlanta Symphony play the strings. Sometimes the orchestras also contribute some brass players, some percussion, but then the chorus is so far has always been this incredible Venezuelan chorus that is part of this incredible Venezuelan musical movement that is transforming music making in the world, called El Sistema. And then the orchestra, the main orchestra is pretty small. I mean, it's very loud, but it's percussionists and the accordion, guitar, piano, and the four brass instruments. It's very loud, but pretty portable.
Let's hear once more just what a kind of revolution this was to the ear. Again, here's Bach. This is Kommt, ich tochte, helft mir klagen. Come, my daughter, help me lament, from Bach's St. Matthew's Passion. This was, and is, the musical passion for many, from the opening of Bach's St. Matthew's Passion, sung there, of course, in German. Then we turn to Golijov. We'll hear the Kaddish here. This is the last movement from St. Mark's Passion by Osvaldo Golijov. It's a Jewish prayer of mourning, the layering of voices, similar to Bach's, but here sung in Jesus, the language Jesus would have spoken, Aramaic. Kaddish comes to the Christian Passion in Osvaldo Golijov's The Passion According to St. Mark. John Sparrow, how did the Atlanta audiences respond to the cultural tapestry? You name it, Afro, Latin, Jewish, the Kaddish is here in the performance there.
I think they had just a pretty magical reaction, and I think that you know, whoever was in the hall, young, old, seasoned listeners alike, or novices who had heard about what had happened in Boston, or who are fans of Robert Spano, our music director, who is a kindred spirit of Osvaldo's.
Mm-hmm. He has directed it many times.
Mm-hmm. Sure, they came to some having a sense of what to expect and some not, but I think all really transformed when it was all said and done. And it's a piece that really that leaves you deeply affected, as does much of Osvaldo's work. And I think it's part and parcel to a lot of things. I think not only is it this incredible tapestry that you see, and I think in some ways tapestry is also appropriate because Osvaldo is a capable weaver, and tapestries that can sort of be transportable. So there are these ever sort of evolving, changing works of art that sort of take a different sheen, perhaps slightly different each place they go, but still are marvelous pieces of works in their own right.
Osvaldo, as you've seen reactions over this decade, since nearly now, September of 2000, first performed in Stuttgart, the next year in Boston, and then all around the world, have you seen an evolution in the way people respond to this? They certainly know a little bit more what's coming when they come to hear it.
Right. No, people react very strongly. I think it's, you know, it's an interesting thing now with all our technology. When people go to a concert, they really expect something that is worth getting out of the house. And this piece, in a way, is also a throwback to the very old times, to when people went to a transcendental experience. They go to the Passion or to Haydn's Creation or to a great Verdi opera, to be transported for 2 hours to themselves, to the deepest reaches of themselves, and also to outside of themselves. So there is a need of all of us to experience transcendental things in community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of satisfaction, sort of overwhelming satisfaction for many here, is another movement. This is Judas. The Los Angeles Times music critic Mark Swed was at the 2000 Stuttgart premiere and said that this movement about the Judas betrayal of Jesus, he called an upbeat, intoxicating choral song that made Judas seem seductive. Here's the movement. Judas, the movement from Osvaldo Golihoff's The Passion of St. Mark. Let's get a call from Moshe in Brookline, Massachusetts. Moshe, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Moshe Waldox here. I'm honored to be Osvaldo's rabbi.
Thank you for calling.
Happy Passover to all of you.
Yes.
Hi, Osvaldo.
Hi, with Moshe.
good to hear you. I think this is, I just wanted to make a comment that the traditional Jewish reaction to Holy Week from Palm Sunday to Easter was one of fear and apprehension. It was not a time when Jews felt very comfortable, particularly in the Christian countries. And what I think Osvaldo has done, and I'm going to have to get off the line in a moment, but what he's done is he's re-Jewified, if you will, Jesus's message, which allows Jews to become much more comfortable with it.
And what do you mean by that, Rabbi?
Well, I'm saying he basically, by saying the Kaddish for this, we are constantly reminded that Jesus was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that the Christian church often wanted to blur in a certain way. And I think by able to blurring that, they were able to see the Jews in reality as an enemy of the church, rather than people who are carrying on a tradition that Jesus himself carried on.
But back as an organic part of the story.
Correct. And I think that's the real power of this. And imagine a Good Friday, which was the service that was most, if you will,
fraught, maybe
difficult for Jews to hear because they were blamed for the killing of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have somebody redeeming that day, transforming it. And I give Oswaldo a lot of credit for that.
Oh, thank you.
So
thank
I have to be off the line, but I wish you all a joyous Passover.
Passover, Good Friday, Easter, and all the rest. Thank you very much for your call. So many comments here, and some to that. Esther writes that she was at that opening night in the U.S., found an unwanted or got an unwanted ticket on the stairs of Symphony Hall. She says, I'll never forget the performance. It was so moving and powerful. I'm Jewish. It did not matter, she writes. I remember myself thinking classical music is born again. But Paul writes on the web, he says, I'm a Catholic who's quite sensitive to the anti-Judaism aspects of the Passion stories. How did you handle the anti-Judaism in your treatment of Mark's gospel?
Well, it's, you know, as they say, don't confuse the message with the messenger, right? The story in itself is astonishing, and again, it's the story by which so many of my friends in Argentina and in Venezuela live their lives.
Catholic,
of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, as Rabbi Waldox said, and Paul says, the story was used many times for 2,000 years almost as a way of creating this myth of collective guilt. So what I tried to do, when I read the story, it was very, very clear that it was not the people, the Jewish people that killed Jesus, that it was the scribes, the high priests, and the supreme court. In other words, it was the hierarchy that plotted to kill Jesus.
We'll come back and look at that. John Sparrow in Atlanta at the Atlanta Symphony. We're so happy to have had you with us today. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll go out of this section with the Eucharist at the midpoint of the Passion of St. Mark. Jesus in the solemn ritual of the Eucharist here in The Passion According to St. Mark by Osvaldo Golihoff. You can join us at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. We'll be right back with much more. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point with second announcement here from Osvaldo Golihov's Passion According to St. Mark. We're looking at the story of this path-breaking addition to sacred music 10 years after its wildly celebrated debut. Osvaldo Golihov is with me in the studio. This piece debuted in Stuttgart, then in the United States in Boston, has played all over the country and the world now. Ecstatic response. You can join the conversation. What was the revolution in Golihov's Passion? Is this how faith and art stay fresh? And what passion will last? Bach's? Golihov's? Both? All? And does this music bring the Easter story alive for you? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Gloria in East Sandwich, Massachusetts. Gloria, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Tom. Thank you so much for presenting Osvaldo on this very important day. And how can I begin to thank Osvaldo, who I'm so grateful to be able to speak to, for the most beautiful moment that I've experienced in my musical life. I just can never express what went on, the feeling that I had. Not only that, but we were talking about it for days and months after.
Were you there at the U.S. debut?
I was there, Tom. I was there at the Boston Symphony with my husband. And whether it was my ophthalmologist or a priest that was visiting in our church who knew about Osvaldo, and then when I was able to find this record in a local book music store, I just was so thrilled. And I told the priest about it, so offered to go down and get it for him. But to my surprise, he beat me to it, came back not only one for himself, but one for me. And I just treasure Osvaldo's gift of, talk about a gift from God. He's absolutely brilliant. Can't wait to get the DVD. And what else can I say?
I think you said it all, Gloria. Thank you very much for that. And it's a response that comes again and again and again. A composer is pretty hugely lucky to have that once in a lifetime. Osvaldo Golihov has continued to compose on so many fronts, but this piece comes back. It comes back particular at this time of year, Osvaldo. You hear that response again from Gloria, and I know you were still thinking on this collective guilt front when we had to go into the break there, but I didn't want to cut you off on that.
No, it's okay. The collective guilt, you know, I left my country, Argentina, during the dictatorship, and I felt a certain shame.
1983, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because of the atrocities that happened in my country during that time. And I didn't know what the world was thinking about all Argentinians. And obviously I left because I was really against all of that. I remember when the dictators took power that there was a televised mass in which the Buenos Aires Archbishop blessed the weapons of the dictators. And a week later, a priest that was equivalent to Jesus, a file and rank priest that had gone to live in a slum in Buenos Aires and done good work for the poor and disadvantaged.
And this is a time, of course, where so many were disappearing in Argentina.
So he was disappeared and killed with the weapons blessed by the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So as in this story, there is a clear difference between the hierarchy, the people that are in power and are scared of the truth and complot to kill that truth. So that is what St. Mark talks about, and that's what I saw in my country, the good and the bad of the same institution.
Let's go to Lois in Rockport, Massachusetts. Lois, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be able to talk to Oswaldo. I view myself as a groupie, as a Golly Hawk groupie. a little humor there because I have traveled around to hear his music. I heard your music at Rockport Chamber Music Festival. I heard Don Upshaw at Jordan Hall, and I went out to Tanglewood to hear this wonderful piece, St. Mark's Passion, in Ozawa Hall, and I'm just so thrilled, and I treasure his music and his talent, and I'm so glad that you have him on. And there is one piece that I want to hear, Mr. Golihoff. It's Don Upshaw, I think, was a soloist, and it's a four-letter word starting with the letter A.
Aire, A-Y-R-E, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How would I ever hear this? Do you know when it's going to be performed next?
I don't know.
Where?
I really don't know. I know that it's being played in Brazil and Spain soon, but I don't know in America if it's going to be played soon.
Lois, thank you so much for your call. I want to bring another voice. Happens also to be from Atlanta today. Stephen Crist joins us. He's chair of the music department at Emory University, teaches music history, specialist in sacred music, early music, the music of Bach. He saw the performance of Oswaldo Golihoff's St. Mark's Passion in Atlanta in 2006. Stephen Crist, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello, Tom, and hello, Oswaldo.
Hello, Stephen.
as a scholar of sacred music, what did you hear and see in this piece, Stephen Crist?
Well, I would have to echo what a lot of your listeners have been saying. I saw the same energy and just an incredibly compelling artistic vision, and yes, the story is enormously compelling. But I did come in very familiar with the Passions of Bach, the best known mm-hmm. examples of this tradition. But and yes, there are some similarities in concept. But I was struck that this was different in almost every way. from that tradition, and it was I have to say that the performances on campus at Emory were among the most memorable of the past decade. And people, you know, just like the other listeners have said, people were talking about it for days and days, and even now.
Different in every way, except perhaps this. I mean, if you look back at Bach, he incorporated a lot of the dance of his time. There's a constant percussion and rhythm and sort of dance feel as a baseline to Golihoff's piece, but maybe they each reached out to their immediate environment to inform their passion, Stephen.
Well, the sorts of things that I mean, for example, you were talking earlier in the show about the performing forces, and particularly the instrumentation, which is dominated by percussion and brass. Well, those are the two groups of instruments that are totally absent from Bach's ensemble.
Yeah.
he scores for strings. He does have some flutes and oboes, but percussion and brass would be reserved for actually a few days later on Easter for celebratory occasions and wouldn't normally be part of a Good Friday grouping. And yet, it's crucial to this Latin American vision. I think it made perfect sense to do it in the Golihoff Mark Passion, but it is very different. If you come in with Bach expectations and kind of this in the back of your mind.
Absolutely. Let's hear a little bit right here. This is Silence from Golihoff's Passion of St. Mark, live performance here with featuring a capoeira dancer, Brazilian dance with pulsating rhythms here. You see a variety of percussion, rhythmic hand claps. It's near the end of St. Mark's Passion. And there we are indeed a long way from Johann Sebastian Bach. Let's get a musician, Ray, South Burlington, Vermont. Ray, you're on the air.
Hi, Hi, how are you? Hello, Osvaldo. It's Ray Vega.
Hey, Ray.
Hi, I'm. I currently play trumpet on Osvaldo's La Pasión. I'm on the DVD that came out in the most recent.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. How great, yes.
And all I just want to say is that I started working with Osvaldo in 2006 at Emory University at that performance, and I've been working with him since. And I have to tell you that I think just a little footnote, I currently professor of music at the University of Vermont where I teach trumpet and I teach several courses in jazz history and combos and such. But I must say that Osvaldo is really, the way he's putting genres together, he's really the future of what we might dub contemporary classical music. But I would have to say also world music, because he's figured out how to navigate all of these different musics, Afro-Brazilian, Afro-Cuban, and then elements of straight-up beautiful, like choral classical stuff, but then with a very different, very modern bent to it. And it all makes sense. And when I first experienced it and rehearsed the music in Atlanta with Bob Spano conducting, I got to tell you, I was pretty much overtaken by the energy and the beauty, the sheer beauty. I mean, I've done the performance now, I don't know how many times, more than a dozen times throughout the world. And I got to tell you, even during the rehearsals, my hairs are standing at edge, because this music is it's very powerful.
And you don't feel sidelined by the dancers and the drums. I mean, the traditional orchestra is not exactly front and center all the time here, Ray.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting in the middle of that, hearing the beautiful strings and the percussion is such a strong component of this music. But then to sit there and listen to singers like Luciana Souza or Bela da Costa, and wonderful singers like Jessica Rivera, and just sitting in the middle of that, I got to tell you, I feel beyond blessed to have an opportunity to be part of this. Because this is really, for me, this is Osvaldo's vision is really the vision of so many of us right now, that we're just trying to figure out. We just enjoy and immerse ourselves in so many different genres of music, and it's difficult to categorize, and I think that's a good thing. I think that speaks of the future of this music.
Kind of global vision and embracing vision. Ray, you're very kind to call. Thank you so much, Osvaldo. Thank you, Ray, very much indeed. The response from traditional classical musicians. I mean, Ray loves it. He's toured with it. He's on the new CD. Good for him. Have you had those who put their heels in and said, no, I this is beyond me?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there are two groups of instruments that are prominent in the Passion that are now growing in the last few decades in maturity and experience, which are the brass and the percussion, right? I mean, there is a lot of incredible new music coming in the last 50 years, I would say, or more, for brass and percussion, whereas for strings, you had... The strings had been explored throughout in the centuries before, so that's why the strings in my piece are less prominent, because they also represent Europe, and the energy of the brass and the percussion represent Africa and Latin America, and I hope together they all have a moving experience to be in the same stage.
Everybody has their role here. Let's listen to one of the most moving moments in Golihov's Passion. Here, the agony, the aria of Jesus. Jesus finds his disciple Peter asleep. Jesus, whose part is sung by a woman in Golihov's Passion, sings to God that he's ready to die. Golihov's The Passion of St. Mark. Stephen Christed Emery, you know this realm of sacred music so well. Is there something changing in the sacred message of the story as you hear it rendered by Golihov? Is there a different emphasis? Could you define it?
Well, I think that there's the word tapestry has been used several times, and I think that's a very appropriate word. The musical style here is very eclectic, and even within different styles of Latin American music, all over the map, and to be able to weave that with early music sounds, and this is an approach that is very much of the 21st century. But I think that
does it change the sacred message to your ear, to your listen?
Well, I don't know that the message has really changed. What I will notice as I've gone through the text compared with say Bach's approach is that there's a bit more artistic license, a rearranging of some of the elements, but no, the central message is still there, but it's filtered. As Oswaldo himself was speaking very well about, it's a respectful, an empathetic trying to understand this message.
And coming out with such a result. Stephen Christ at Emory University, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Oswaldo Golihov, here we are 10 years on, and the performances go on. You expect to be hearing this, I don't know, the rest of your life, I suppose. I mean, you're in the canon.
You never know, but I hope.
It's a beautiful gift. It was a beautiful gift then. It remains a beautiful gift today. We're so glad for the unique path that brought you to the music and your music to us. Oswaldo Golihov, composer of the St. Mark's Passion here. Thank you very much for coming
thank
in.
Thank you,
this.
Tom. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
10-year anniversary. Wonderful. And out afresh and anew on CD. Listeners, thank you very much for joining us this hour on this Good Friday. We'll go out with the Arrest. Lively Choir comes right after that acknowledgement of Jesus that he's ready to die. His pursuers capture him in the story. They will sentence him to death. But it's all in a new envelope in the hands of Oswaldo Golihov. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.